Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe and about prosperity. And in this section, I discuss country by country, each single country I will discuss in Europe, and also give my assessment, my recommendations, and also what is the current status, what should be happen, and then also invite interview partners as much as I can find to the specific country situation. This is now about European Poland. Poland is really very important country in European history, obviously, in European future, and it really matters very much. Let's not only talk about the historic dimensions of Poland and its significance for European history cannot be overestimated historically, from Napoleon times to the whole questions about the First World War, the re-establishment of Poland, and before the divisions of Poland, the re-establishment of Poland after the First World War, and also then the role of Poland in the interwar years, and of course the tragedy of the Second World War, and obviously then the tragedy of communism, the betrayal of Poland's freedom and the Yalta process, the terrible years of communism, and then obviously the freedom fights starting with the Solidarność and the Pope John Paul II, and all these amazing but also very difficult years in the 80s, and obviously the key contribution of Poland to European freedom and to the end of communism. The role of Poland obviously is the leader of the new countries and Poland in NATO since 1999 and since 2004 in the European Union, and very successfully so, dynamic economy, a powerful contributor to European prosperity, the biggest country of all, and really, I think, in many ways, very successful in the big fundamentals. Obviously, there's issues mostly connected to the fact that, unfortunately, I don't know what exactly happened, that Prime Minister Tusk, who later became the council president, he didn't lead and integrate Poland into the Eurozone when he probably could have. And later then, after he was defeated and then was the National Conservative or populist government, I will discuss about the assessment of this party, which is called PiS, which is this party which is governing Poland since now several years. And they have a very problematic but difficult to explain history. I don't like them very much. I will explain why. But nevertheless, they have rejected the Eurozone. And that's the biggest thing which Poland is missing, because it's still, unfortunately, lagging behind in prosperity. Now at $17,000 GDP per capita, that's significantly less than the more successful countries, as Slovenia at 26, Czech Republic 24, Slovakia in 19,000, and Lithuania is also ahead of, and Estonia is ahead. So given, of course, it's much bigger country, that is true. Overall size of the economy is at $635 billion. That's quite significant. Yeah? It's the 22nd globally in that sense. And of course, Poland matters very much economically, but it could be much richer if it would be already 10 years in the Eurozone or joined with Lithuania in 2014. Imagine, we would be much richer, all of us in Europe, and of course the Polish. And it would be much better, safer, secure Europe if they had done it in 2014, when they could, together with Lithuania. But unfortunately, Poland is not Lithuania. There is a lack of this pro-Europeanness in some parts of the society, and accordingly also in the electorate and in the elected politicians. It's a problem connected with the history of Poland, there's no doubt about it. There is always easy kind of anti-German populism, anti-Austrian populism to some extent, and this kind of anti-Brussels populism is in some extent in a country with that history. I have shortly outlined it, but imagine, you know, the whole country was re-established in 45, about one-third further to the west, in a sense, on the cost of German territory. Obviously, you know, there are open wounds and open issues mentally. much less on the German side, because the Germans have made peace with that. But in Poland, there is a certain kind of inferiority complex. That's one problem here. And there is also this kind of easy to exploit feeling, oh, the Germans might come back, you know, the Germans are Nazis and so. And unfortunately, mainly these peace populists are doing a lot of this. I'm really very unhappy about this populistic anti-German, anti-Brussels kind of populism. That's very sad for me. While on the general, on the bigger strategic picture, you can rely even on peace party of Poland that they are anti-Russian, anti-Putin and pro-American. I think that's a consensus very widely shared. So Poland is not a country like you have some tendency in the Slovak Republic, in the Czech Republic, this President Zeman, some elements of this Fico populist of the left in Slovak Republic, and actually quite a lot, a really significant part of the society and electorate in Hungary, which are really very pro-Russian. Hungary, actually, I don't know if it's only Orban. No, I think it's widely shared. There is, unfortunately, this is very problematic. So I never understood why the Visegrad countries are so united in some issues, when it's against Germany, maybe. But in fact, they have complete on what really matters, you know, and that is the questions of life and death in Europe. The key question is, are you with America or with Russia? And what's your position on that one? And on that question, the Visegrad countries are very divided. Poland is 100% pro-American. And 80%, I would say, not 100%, but it's a lot of complicity with Putin in Hungary. It's a mystery. While ever the bilateral relation of the Hungarians and the Polish is excellent historically and also today. So it's very confusing to understand. Maybe anybody can make sense of that combination. I don't and I can't. Nevertheless, it is exactly as I describe it. I think I'm absolutely correct on that one. So this is the problem. There is also a problem in Poland about the rule of law, but it has to be also explained more consistently, because it's not that Poland is a country, when you, for example, invest in a business in Poland, that you have problems there, in a sense that they have problems with the contract enforcement, or that somebody will take your property, or there is violence. No, no, no. Poland is a proper working rule of law country for the investor. This is a lot of foreign investors, Americans, British, the whole world, Germans, yeah, Austrians are invested there. There is all working fine. Yeah, the problem is more ideological kind of reorientation and a dream of some kind of a conservative Catholic Poland, a kind of identity narrative developed by this peace party. And that's the basic idea. They want to control the judiciary for issues of abortion and family law and this kind of thing. Yeah, this is much more an ideological problem in the rule of law sector, and obviously also connected in the control of the media and some of the state companies. I'm sure about that one as well. I'm not naive, you know. They want to control the judiciary also for their own economic interests. But it's in no way, and it's wrong to present the situation as if there would be a very low level of the rule of law for the general citizens or the general investor in Poland. No, no, no. It's not a country like Russia where you can be raided, or a country in Ukraine, even to as much as I love Ukraine, but where you can have really serious problem with the law enforcement organs of the secret service when some commercial interest of your competitor is politically connected and might send you the tax police or the secret service or all these horror stories of raiding. No, no, this is not the case in Poland. Yeah? No, 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 to my best knowledge. Maybe there might be individual cases, but go to Poland and you see the things are full of international brands, property protection and international regulation. All the investors wouldn't be there if there would be conditions which are similar to Russia. No, no, no. This is all fine in the rule of law. When you see the International Rule of Law Index, you can check yourself. Poland obviously is lower ranked in the European Union, but we are the European Union. There is a kind of common standards. Poland today is ranked like Italy, but in Italy they have certainly more problems with this petty crime than in Poland, or also with the legal certainty of asset situation. The problem is much more an ideological problem of this specific form of conservative populism, which doesn't exist to my best knowledge anywhere else. It's highly connected with this identity reconstruction of Poland, this kind of glorification of Poland, which is a glorious and famous and amazing nation. But you can exaggerate a bit, and that's what they unfortunately do. And then it's a bit of self-fulfilling prophecy, kind of getting everybody wants to be more Polish than the next. Yeah, it's not a toxic kind of nationalism against anybody else. No. But it's a bit of a kind of a overcompensation of a lost century and maybe two lost centuries. Yeah, that's a bit of a specific Polish crisis in identity narrative, then translating as well in this kind of ideological rule of law crisis which we have. So that everybody can see individually, you know, this is very complex social issues from abortion to family law. I don't want to go into it because they are very divisive and everybody might have his own opinion. But what I want to say is from the economic side, it's not that there is a lack of rule of law in Poland. That's very important on principle. And investment is thriving. Poland is actually doing very good. But it could do better. It could do better in the Eurozone. Absolutely, that's absolutely needed. And when Poland would be always, you know, so concerned about our unity in Europe, like Poland is one of the leading countries against Nord Stream 2, that's very good. But what really matters, obviously, for in this confrontation with Russia is more unity. And Poland adopting the Eurozone or joining the Eurozone would, of course, be a huge further step towards European economic unification. And that would be extremely annoying for Putin. And it would be extremely good for the Western unity. And I appeal to the Polish authority, reconsider. If you want to annoy Putin and you just do it for that, join the Eurozone. If you just, you know, don't see the economic reason, there are so many, please do it only to annoy Putin. And that would be also extremely helpful for the European unification. I called already for Ukraine to adopt the euro in order to put some pressure on Poland, but this didn't work. But nevertheless, I will continue to do so. I believe very strongly in European unification, economic unification, first of all. That's very important. And, you know, this kind of flexible kind of exchange courses. When you go actually to Poland, you can buy, I was recently, when I went for to Ukraine, you pay with credit card. You can choose already if you want to pay in euro or in zloty. So it is basically a pressing of the button to change over to the euro. It can be done in 3 months, as it was done in Lithuania, and it would mean a lot. Good. On NATO, I have already talked. Poland is a very reliable ally, is very active also to build an alliance with Lithuania, the Baltics, Romania, is caring very much for Ukraine's security. That's, of course, very good and must be applauded. Poland is also, they have not done too much big infrastructure investment until the mid of the 2000s. But now it's amazing. Poland has infrastructure which is close to Germany in terms of highways. And they are the only country really starting in Eastern Europe also with high-speed railways. Yeah? That's quite enormous. Obviously, let me forget, also Poland is a big receiver of European subsidies because it's simply a very big country with 40 million people. But they also significantly have been supported. But they also do something with this money. They build fantastic first-class infrastructure everywhere. Look at, you can see the Twitter handle of the Polish Infrastructure Ministry. They are posting every month a new highway. It's an amazing progress on infrastructure. And I applaud Poland for that. That's really one of the big pluses. And there you can go, and there are more to come. I think they are far from finished. and they are building, now they're building these high-speed trains. This will be one of the power, is already one of the powerhouses of the European economy, and more to come. They have been also extremely generous to Ukraine after 2014 and opened for Ukrainians, for refugees from Donbass, from Crimea, but also for others who wanted to improve their life. They were the most liberal in the labor market opening for the Ukrainians in Europe, and I congratulate Poland especially for that. That was very, very good. We have should all have done it. Shame on the Germans and the Austrians for not doing it. But this was wonderful effort. And it was also economically wise. I always say it. Opening the labor market is good for the economy. It's good for the people. It's a human thing to do. And it's an economic decent thing to do. Bravo, Poland, for that. When it comes to general economic reforms, macroeconomic, Poland is at number 40 of doing business. That's quite good, but it's also not extraordinary. You know, Poland is, you know, a typical bigger country, quite happy with himself, with herself, and not so much concerned about its competitiveness, like the smaller and more successful tiger economies, like also Lithuania, Estonia. It's not the same level of reform, but it's obviously decent. 40 is good. The same is also true for Transparency International. And that underlines also my point when I made it on the rule of law crisis. That is a more ideological crisis. Poland is at 45 of Transparency International, the same as Georgia, but much ahead of Italy or Bulgaria, Romania. Hungary is at 70, for example, and at 45, it's a decent Northern European ranking, obviously not on the level of Sweden, but getting better. Could be better with a more ambitious agenda of internal reform. But there is a certain Polish arrogance as well. We are doing fine. We are big. We are fine. And so there is a bit of a lack of some of these reform efforts on the microeconomic and on the anti-corruption side. Let me talk about taxation because it's a very good example. Poland has a very competitive tax system. They really take care about competitiveness, but also a very complicated one. I called, and that's also my misunderstanding or my rejection of this peace party, because on several times I called on them to cut the taxes to 15% and have flat tax. It's logical. 15% is perfect taxation system for Poland. Yeah? It's fair, it's fine, it's clear, it's flat, it's perfect. But unfortunately, they have the following system. On taxation, they have on income, they have 14, 17, 19, 32. They have four different scales, and it's only 14 to 32. So it's not, you know, extreme pressure, torture level like in Austria or like in Germany or other countries in Western Europe, but in France, for example. But it's really also four levels. Why to have it? Yeah, it would be so logical to have simply just 15% for income taxation. It would be much more easy. For example, for property, they have done it very easily. Only 5% the income derived of property, because I'm sure that they had a lot of tax evasion on that one, on rental income and revenues from renting out. So they have only 5% on that one. So you see, an income 14 to 32, and that's for salaried income. Then you have the 5% income tax. And then you have a two level, and here comes again the complication. You have another two-tier system of corporate income tax. I mean, that's quite bizarre, why to have that, yeah? And then you have 9% for smaller companies and 19% for bigger companies, yeah? So that's, to my best knowledge, I don't think most of the European countries have a simple one rate for corporate income tax. But no, actually Malta has a similar discriminatory system. But where's the problem? First of all, they have made a minimum level of revenues until which you can, a maximum revenue on which you can be a small business. And that's, surprisingly, 2 million euro revenue. I mean, that's quite a lot of money already. So until 2 million revenue yearly, you are in the 9% bracket. So you can expect that most domestic companies, the smaller SMEs, the also quite big companies, I mean, you are no longer a small SME or medium size, 2 million euro turnover is already quite a lot of money for a company, and then you stay in the 9% corporate taxation. 19% is then for the rest. That means the bigger companies, that means the international companies, the foreign investors, that means obviously also the big banks. And then you see already how this populist government, this conservative populist government, they have this kind of domestic preference agenda, and they have done it in their way, ideologically smart, to always give benefits to Polish companies and the internationals. They shall pay. And that's the logic, obviously, you see in all these aspects. And that's not very European. It's not very good for foreign investment. It's not very good for economic growth. It's also a bit confusing because I'm sure there's a lot of arbitrage happening and a lot of companies then create two companies, three companies in order to evade to be in the 19% bracket and so on and so on. So ultimately, it's a bit nonsensical, the whole system, and it's not very good. So I call for Poland to have 15% for all the tax levels, income, corporate, and also property. It's much better, much fairer. It's more revenues, more clarity, less arbitrage, less evasion. And it is then the tax system which on which the next level of prosperity can be built once the firm fundament of the euro is there as well. So that would be the much better system. And then Poland could catch up with German prosperity. You know, there is nothing in the world would Germany is now still three times richer and per GDP per capita. Imagine Poland being as rich as Germany. That would then be not just 600 billion economy, but it would be close to 2 trillion. And that is a powerhouse. That would be a Poland catching up with Spain. That would be a Poland being as significant maybe one day. You know, that's maybe a longer period. It's more population, obviously, in Italy. But economically, it's not excluded that there will be 2 trillion GDP in Poland. And I hope that the Italians don't fall back too far. But, you know, they are not growing in Italy. And Poland is growing, and especially in the Eurozone. That would be huge boost for convergence and cohesion. And that would be also, together with the flat tax of 15% and the infrastructure package, this would be setting the pace for maybe even massive population growth. Because one of the big phenomena of Poland is the significant loss of population with during the EU preparation and also afterwards with the openness towards Britain and Ireland especially. But then there was significant moving back in a more prosperous society because people made the business case very clearly. What can I earn here? How much does it cost to live living over there in Ireland? And does it really pay off to commute? And can I not build something better here in Poland? Conditions improved so much, security, investment, rule of law, and many people went back to Poland and built up that economy very successfully. And I think that's a role model what all Eastern European countries and the Southern European countries can learn from Poland in some aspects. Not in all, because unfortunately this conflicted identity narrative, and this has obviously led to a lot of this kind of okay-ish decision, but not perfect. Yeah, with some courage, Poland would be already in the euro and would have the 15% flat tax and also reform significantly, intensively stronger the digital rule of law sector, digital cadastre, digital construction permits, and so on, and be one of the world leader on economic reform, really at the top 10 of doing business, on the top 10 of Transparency International. That is absolutely possible for Poland, and it should be like that. And it will be like that. I'm confident. Poland will again surprise everybody positively during the 2020s. It will be one of the pumping heart chambers of the economic recovery of the Europe in the 2020s, post-corona, and it will be a very successful economy, as it is already, but it will be extremely successful. Let me also talk about my idea about institutionally sending one of the key pillars of the European Union institutions towards Poland, because I promoted this idea already and I like it very much. I think Gdansk is the perfect city to relocate the Council of Europe, because Gdansk has such an enormously significant historical meaning for whole of Europe because of the revolution started there of Solidarność, obviously, in 81, but also of the start of World War II, obviously, with Westerplatte. It's such an important, significant place, Gdansk. Obviously, all the questions before between the Germans and the Polish, this is all there, still strong in the memory, I'm sure. And, you know, to heal all these wounds of the past, to put the Council of Europe from Strasbourg towards Gdansk is a powerful symbolic gesture and also concrete gesture. It's also good for economic development. There can be a European quarter built somewhere at the coast beautifully with some nice towers and beautiful design. This can be the lightning tower for the rule of law for Poland, but also for Ukraine, and the focus of the Council of Europe in the coming decades, obviously the democratization and the reforms of Russia. I mean, Belarus, Russia, but also Turkey, no doubt. But this should be from Gdansk, the focus on Russia. I think it's very logical. And Kaliningrad is close. And so here, this is the perfect location. And I have also argued that the European judiciary pillar will be transported from, it's mostly in Luxembourg today, the European Court of Justice, will be transported and relocated as well to Gdansk. And so Gdansk to converge as the seat of the European judiciary and the third capital in some ways together, or the fourth capital if you want to call it like this, because Brussels as the executive, Strasbourg for the European Parliament, I'm for the unification of the European Parliament in Strasbourg, Luxembourg, obviously, the seat of the European Investment Bank, and in my vision also the European Bank of Reconstruction, not in London, but in Luxembourg would be much better. And obviously, there's Frankfurt as well with the central bank, but that's not a capital in a sense. But then Gdansk to be where all the rule of law institutions from the Council of Europe, the courts and the European Court of the EU, and then to be relocated. I think that's a powerful gesture to say that Poland is the most important new country in the European Union, that also the European Union is not only Germany, France, but very much about Poland as well. Poland, in a way, as the largest country of the new Eastern European, Central European, and partly, if you want, also Slavic world, if you want to put this dimension into this discussion, of the Eastern European world, in a sense, and to have one capital as well in Poland, I think would be a powerful symbol for peace and reconciliation, for equality in Europe of the different regions we have, so south, north, east, west, center, and all this. And I think it would also help to heal some of these unfortunately complicated and complex narratives and identity issues that the Polish don't feel taken seriously. Because most of all this crisis of identity is somehow that the Polish people, they see their own strengths, but they feel that the Germans and the French don't take them serious, and the Italians, yeah, connected with the past and the history and, you know, the economically that they are still having to catch up. And so they think that we don't take them serious, but we do. We do take Poland very seriously, but maybe it's necessary to express it institutionally as well with some kind of a small carousel of institutions, at least to have more of the European governance as well taking place on Polish soil. I think it's good. And Gdansk is my proposal. I was told by some friends that some Polish from the peace might take this as a secret coup to take Gdansk away from them. That's not my plan. Yeah. So, No. Everything about border changes, I'm strictly against. As you know, anybody who has listened to my podcast already. So nevertheless, I think that is a good idea, but will it happen or not? You know, probably the French will keep everything in Strasbourg and nothing will change as always in Europe. But that's maybe some bit of a visionary dreaming or a fantasy talk of mine. But concretely, Poland is a strong ally. Poland supports Ukraine, please. Take Ukraine hand by hand into the NATO, into EU, into the Eurozone, as well Moldova and Georgia. This is your role. You have to be a serious actor towards Berlin, Washington, Paris and Brussels. Again, unfortunately, presently, that's a bit handicapped. But you have to be so serious that you basically take Ukraine into the European Union. You cannot leave that to the Slovaks or the Czechs or, you know, the Bulgarians, yeah? It's Poland who has to take Ukraine into Europe and NATO. This is your task historically. This is the mission. And of course, Georgia and Moldova attached to it. EU potential candidate status, NATO map, and also the euro and the security of Ukraine. This is absolutely. And then also the attached prosperity, which will come because Ukraine is similar like Poland in many aspects. A very important economic asset from the human capacities, from land, from mineral resources, from geography. It will be the natural kind of economic space in Central and Eastern Europe, which will make Europe very successfully and allow for a good growth period in this decade. If we do the right things, you know, with the decent things, unity and also competitiveness, and also the Eurozone to join it, would give you the credibility to also have demands towards Germany in terms of cutting Nord Stream 2, but also demands towards Europe to take on the responsibility of integrating Ukraine as a EU potential candidate country together with IPA. And that would, of course, be expensive for Europe. But once you are in the Eurozone, Poland, you will be taken as seriously that nobody can reject your requests in terms of Ukraine, EU potential candidate country, and in terms of ending Nord Stream 2. So here's the proposal. Poland gets serious, and then we take you serious. And then I think much good will come out of this. That's my call for European Poland. Join the Eurozone, please. And thanks a lot for listening. Peace and prosperity will be the result of good policy. Poland, join the Eurozone and join it now. Thanks a lot for listening.